perfect worlds of tomorrow and the wonderful things to come are themes that have always inspired people of imagination and creativity. Filmmakers have envisioned adventures of survival under the most catastrophic conditions or life in an ideal society. Logan's Run is a new motion picture set in the 23rd century. It depicts a perfect world in which people live and love in total pleasure. To create that complex world, producer Saul David and his company are using the technology of today and expanding it as a framework for the adventures of the future, devising a 23rd century where each day is devoted to the pursuit of pleasure.
This one postulates a world in which you don't really have to do anything except enjoy, so that this utopia consists in a series of extrapolations of what seem to be pretty obvious tendencies today.
Starting with new ideas and technology of this scope and making them come alive is a challenge to director Michael Anderson.
Trying to define what a 23rd century utopia is. It's one of the most interesting things of the preparation of this film that's come up. It's constantly an exciting day's work to come here every morning and create something that has not been done before.
In the MGM workshops, a 23rd century maze car evolves from blueprints. Ingenious sets that depict the physical trappings of a future environment. Later, they'll be moved onto huge sound stages. Chris Outwater, one of America's leading scientists in the field of lasers and holograms, produces new light and image techniques. A great many experts work long and hard to construct the world of the future. Visual effects wizard Bill Abbott aims for the highest possible fidelity and credibility.
Get ready to retire.
Cinematographer Ernest Laszlo has an opportunity to experiment with innovative lighting. If the creation of a 23rd century offered a formidable challenge to each of these crafts, it presented an equal one to director Michael Anderson. He describes how this effort is being welded together.
My job is to take all of their imaginations plus mine and channel them into a straight line. But it's only such a team as we have gathered together to make this film that gives us the reward of seeing something that we haven't seen on the screen before.
And cut it. Not bad. Once more, please.
If they cross...
Saul David and Michael Anderson develop a close relationship working on the set.
We wanted to make the same movie, and so that there was an immediate marriage of ideas.
The producer explains their perception of the theme of the film.
This is a utopian movie, and like all utopian movies, it presents a marvelous future, but with a worm in the apple.
In this world, the only thing you can't have is your 30th birthday. The star of the motion picture is Michael York.
I play a character called Logan in the film. Now, Logan is what's called a sandman. In fact, he's a policeman, but a very elite policeman. They belong to a force, they're almost like the SS, that control this society.
Sandmen have only one mission in life, to stop malcontents who try to run away from this perfect world of tomorrow. Jenny Agutter co-stars with Michael York.
I'd seen her work both at the National Theatre, for example, and in the movies. Jen is extremely experienced. I mean, she's very young, but she's extremely professional.
I play a girl called Jessica, who's living in the 23rd century, in a society where everybody lives to the age of 30 and no longer. There are no responsibilities. And Jessica, I think, feels that there should be some more quality to their life and something else. The film is very much an adventure story. It travels through all sorts of possibilities of the society. It travels with two people trying to escape.
Co-starring in the film is Richard Jordan.
Richard! Got it. Now he comes forward.
Richard's a marvelous actor, one of the most exciting young actors that I've seen around for a long time. He's got a tremendous kind of vitality and passion about him, which is terrific to play with. Lots of nervous energy, almost Brando-esque.
Where'd they go? The Sandman and his greeting.
Didn't you see them?
People seek a means to live longer in any society. The film envisions an attempt at life renewal in the 23rd century through a mystical liturgy witnessed by thousands of younger spectators in a jammed arena. To film the event, an enormous amphitheater has been constructed with a rotating carousel. The cameras photograph the action from all angles to give the audience realistic points of view during the ride. The company also has to devise a wholly different world outside the domed and controlled city. They fashion and construct one for scenes that show evidences of an earlier culture and another set of values.
This is not just a film about special effects and extraordinary stunts and marvelous scenery, although that's a very important element, and I think it should be quite staggering to look at. There is a very human story running through it.
Producers Saul David and the company continue to project the theme that life in a utopia can sometimes have its drawbacks by preparing a sequence in the Sandman's headquarters. Michael Anderson Reddy then films an interrogation by a master computer. Logan is forced to rush him.
Первый спутник Земли, который запустили в нашей стране. И он не просто сообщал, я здесь, я здесь, я в космосе. Нет, это был довольно подробный рассказ о том, как работали приборы, установленные на Земле. Это температура, то есть все, что надо, вот в этом бип-бип-бип. Правда, нас...
of the sleeping children in their small ark of safety, and Pearl, cradling the precious doll in her small arms, dreams a child's gentle dream.
Once upon a time, there was a pretty fly. He had a pretty wife, this pretty fly. But one day she flew away, flew away. She had two pretty children, but one night these two pretty children flew away, flew away.
So they dream, these two wanderers upon the lonely earth, upon the dark river, haunted yet by the footfalls of their pursuer, drifting, drifting on the warm waters, floating southward past the little towns and farms, while behind them on a stolen horse, the hunter follows them.
Thank you. Первый раз из космоса. Так разговаривал с Землей, с людьми первый спутник Земли, который запустили в нашей стране. И он не просто сообщал, я здесь, я в космосе. Нет, это был довольно подробный рассказ о том, как работают приборы, установленные на спутнике. Какая там, например, температура. То есть все, что надо, вот в этом бип-бип сказано. Правда, на особом спутниковом языке. Но люди, которые делали спутник, этот язык прекрасно понимали. Сейчас спутники больше и сложнее, но язык у них все равно свой спутниковый. Правда, вот дать тебе его послушать я не могу. Он сильно изменился, и слышать его только приборы. Иначе нельзя, ведь спутники разговаривают очень быстро, так быстро, что человек просто не успел бы понять, что ему говорят. Только приборы не успевают, чтобы потом, конечно, человек все это передал. Ну, а о чем спутники сегодня говорят? Например, о том, что видят они на Земле. Скажем, где над Землей облака, где разные ураганы, как растет лес. В общем, так, как будто там вот сидят люди, все рассказывают. И ничего не видят. Ведь делают это. И они научились все видеть и обо всем рассказывать. Но, конечно, человек
consciousness-expanding drugs. This is a serene and beautiful place. What were the skies like when you were young?
They went on forever. We lived in Arizona, and the skies always had little fluffy clouds in them, and they were long and clear, and there were lots of stars at night. And when it would rain, it would all turn... They were beautiful, the most beautiful skies, as a matter of fact. The sunsets were purple and red and yellow and on fire, and the clouds would catch the colors everywhere. That's neat, because I used to look at them all the time. You don't see that. You might still see it in the desert.
The skies in the Southwest are spectacular. Yeah. You were born in Chicago, right?
And then... And we came to Arizona when I was 4 and left when I was 14.
Oh, so you really went to grade school and everything. So you grew up hot.
Yeah. I learned how to walk across the tar with a towel. You run 15 steps. So throw the towel down, stand on it, pull your feet out, and run some more, throw the towel down. Or find the tiniest piece of shade where something is, you know, the littlest thing was, and stand on your tiptoes and then it's a shade.
Did you have irrigation ditches?
Yeah.
That was like the center of my life.
All the pop bottles in the irrigation ditches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And the guppies and frogs.
Thank you. line and was right. She said that Sodom was trying to get back to the river. Now, that's true. There has to be some connection with the Amargosa star. Data, give me a list of anything that was affected by the star's destruction, no matter how insignificant.
Take the computer a few moments to compile the information.
Data. You all right?
Yes, sir. I'm finding it difficult to concentrate. Levi, I am overwhelmed with feelings of remorse, regret concerning my actions on the observatory.
Thank you.
I'm supposed to meet somebody at reception, and I wanted to know if they were there with you. Haile Selassie.
Haile?
Selassie.
You got Haile Selassie? No.
Could you possibly, if he does, he will come in very shortly, would you deliver Marcus Garvey, phoned, and that I will meet him, well, it's meet him in Babylon and team.
Yes, when Mark comes in, right?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to wait with him. No, it wasn't. No.
He's a black gentleman.
But when he comes in after you, you're going to meet him at where we're going.
Babylon. Babylon and Ting.
Babylon.
From head up, aching
right
rivers.
Right, thank you. God bless you. Bye.
From pent up, aching rivers, from that of myself without which I were nothing, from what I am determined to make illustrious, even if I stand sole among men, from my own voice resonant, singing the phallus, singing the song of procreation, singing the need of superb children and therein superb grown people, singing the muscular urge and the blending, singing the bedfellow's song. Oh, resistless yearning, oh, for any and each the body correlative attracting, oh, for you, whoever you are, your correlative body, oh, it more than all else you delighting, from the hungry gnaw that eats me night and day, from native moments, from bashful pain, singing them, seeking something yet unfound, though I have diligently sought it many a long year, singing the true song of the soul, fitful at random, renascent with grossest nature among animals, of that, of them, of what goes with them, my poems informing, of the smell of apples and lemons, of the pairing of birds, of the wet of woods, of the lapping of waves, of the mad pushes of waves upon the land, I them chanting, the overture lightly sounding, the strain anticipating, the welcome nearness, the sight of the perfect body, the swimmer swimming naked in the bath, or motionless on his back, lying and floating, the female form approaching, high pensive, love flesh tremulous aching, the divine list for myself or you or for anyone making, the face, the limbs, the index from head to foot, and what it arouses, the mystic deliria, the madness amorous, the utter abandonment. Hark close and still what I now whisper to you. I love you. Oh, you entirely possess me. Oh, that you and I escape from the rest and go utterly off, free and lawless. Two hawks in the air, two fishes swimming in the sea, not more lawless than we. The furious storm through me careering, I passionately trembling, the oath of the inseparableness of two together, the woman that loves me, and whom I love more than my life, that oath swearing, oh, I willingly stake all for you, oh, let me be lost if it must be so, oh, you and I, what is it to us what the rest do or think? What is all else to us? Only that we enjoy each other and exhaust each other if it must be so. From the master, the pilot, I yield the vessel to. The general commanding me, commanding all, from him permission taking. From time the program hastening, I have loitered too long as it is. From sex, from the warp and from the woof. From privacy, from frequent repinings alone, from plenty of persons near and yet the right person not near, from the soft sliding of hands over me and the thrusting of fingers through my hair and beard, from the long sustained kiss upon the mouth or bosom, from the close pressure that makes me or any man drunk, fainting with excess, from what the divine husband knows, from the work of fatherhood, from exaltation, victory, and relief, from the bedfellow's embrace in the night, from the act palms of eyes, hands, hips, and bosoms, from the clink of the trembling arm, from the bending curve and the clinch, from side by side the pliant coverlet off throwing, from the one so unwilling to have me leave, and me just as unwilling to leave. Yet a moment, oh tender waiter, and I return. From the hour of shining stars and dropping dews, from the night a moment I emerged flitting out, celebrate you act divine, and you children prepared for, and you stalwart loins.
Thank you.
Yes, in fact, he's leaving right now for New York. And yes, I'm all right. And no, I'm not all right. Can you believe it? All the time we were married, all I got were accusations.
Well, do you have someone that you're going out with?
I don't even feel like going out. I think I may just pull the shades down for a week and be alone with my quiet freedom.
Well, if you have to be alone, why not with the fantasy?
Fantasy? I told you, I don't know. I just don't feel up to dating or going out right now. Not even with a fantasy.
Haven't you heard? I managed to find a
fantasy. I don't know. I don't feel like going out or dating right now.
You say anything about going out. It's fantasy out. Okay, great idea. I'm going to give you a cookie at your own house. It's perfect and you can't refuse. It's my gift to you. It's your fantasy.
Fantasia, having a party is not my idea of a fantasy. Especially right now.
Thank you. Thank you. And I bought some new boots and braces and some Levi's stay press, sitting indoors with a cup of tea. There's a knock on the door, there's a door. And your mum said to him, come in, because she needs to say that. And then accused me of some braces and some Levi's stay press, sitting indoors with a cup of tea. There's a knock on the door, there's a door. And your mum said to him, come in, because she needs to say that. And then they accused me, they said that I'd have come down the station and been witness. So I went down there and I said that I'd done it and I denied it all. But then we all made different statements and we were all wrong. Anyhow, we were proven guilty and I got 2 years in hospital. They gave me 26 and I was on the time.
Bar soap and a towel, had a number on all, had a razor and a couple of blades which were blunt in here. Now give me my number 5.